The wait is over. Football is here, and so is DraftKings. DraftKings is now live in all 50 states. One app, every sport, nationwide. New DraftKings customers, sign up with code 2400, spend $5 to get $200 in rewards within 21 days. Includes all markets. That's code 2400 in partnership with DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 1-800-MY-RESET. Connecticut, call 888-789-777. Or visit ccpg.org on behalf of Boot Hill Casino in Kansas. Bet tax pass-through may apply in Illinois. 21 and over. Void in Canada. Bet with DraftKings Sportsbook to get bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Or trade with DraftKings Predictions to get predictions dollars that expire in 1 year. Event contract trading involves risk of loss. Predictions offer void in New York. Non-withdrawable rewards issued as $50 click-to-claims every 7 days for 21 days. Terms at dkng.co/offer. Limited time offer. Nationwide based on sportsbook predictions and free-to-play sports contest availability. Varies by state.
2 o'clock straight up. Up. It's the Carton Show with Big Mac on a gorgeous Monday afternoon in New York City. Phone number to join, as always, 888-808-1019. Got a great show for you today. Sitting in for the big fella is Zach Gelb, is Anthony Gallo, is Connor Von Connor, and you guys on the phone. So lots cooking today. I'll start with Zach. Good afternoon. How are you today, pal?
Craig, what's going on? Doing well.
All good. Zach, of course, is fresh off a bachelor party in Toronto. Not Montreal where Club Supersex is, but Toronto. And what do a group of young guys do on a bachelor party in Toronto, a whole other country? They go to a Yankee Blue Jay game. A loser says what?
I feel like I was Aaron Boone when everybody else is making the decisions for me. That's what I felt like.
Unbelievable that you... We'll get to it later.
It wasn't my wedding, listen, to be clear. This is not what I would do for my bachelor party.
As I've told you a million times, I told Gal the same thing. The bachelor party is not the groom's decision to make. It is the best man's decision and the dudes who are going to be there for the wedding. The bachelor just has to go along with it.
Quite frankly.
And that means you had a vote and you voted for Blue Jays Yankees at a bachelor party.
I'm not in the wedding party. I don't know why I was invited to this bachelor party.
Could have cashed, probably. They probably figured a big celebrity like you are, you probably had a couple extra ducats in your pocket. But in any event, we'll get to that later on in the show. You know, a lot of talk today, rightfully so, over the New York Giants over the weekend. Jets as well. We'll start with the Giants here today. But there's one take on Jackson Dart going into the Blue 10 that not a single person on this radio station has said. And that includes you people listening right now who have called in or are online interacting with the show accounts, right? Right now, it seems like for Giant fans, there's two questions on Jackson Dart. One, why was he sent to the Blue Tent? He's now gone there, what, like 6 or 7 times in a very short career, including the preseason, right? And the other side is, should he have gone to the Tent? That seems to be the debated topics here today. I will tell you, in those two topics, that hit, where Tyrone Tracy misses the block and he gets a helmet right to his chest. That's not on Jackson Dart. That's not Jackson Dart being stupid. It's not on Jackson Dart, you know, not listening to the coaches. It's not on Jackson Dart being, you know, youthful exuberance and trying to get an extra yard. A blitz came off the corner. He never saw it. It's football. Why did he go to the Blue 10? Because he stayed on the ground for an extra 5 seconds. If he pops right back up, guess what? There's a better than 50-50 chance
that he's not in the tent.
He's not going to the tent. Agree?
Yeah. Like, here's the weird part about this. He has been a reckless player, but the other day had nothing to do, like
Agreed.
You said, with him being reckless.
Wasn't reckless
Tracy's
at all.
He's got to pick up the block, and now the coach sent a little message to him, bringing in Najee Harris.
Tyrone Tracy's days as a Giant are over because he missed that block and put the franchise quarterback in harm's way in a preseason game. Najee Harris had the torn Achilles in week 3 last year, so he's about all the way back now. Obviously, he's a veteran. Everybody knows his name. Tyrone Tracy might have caused himself a job with the Giants.
And two things on Najee Harris. One, even though he only played 3 games last year, he was with Jim Harbaugh, so John probably knows everything that he needs to know about him.
Sure.
And also, very good pass blocker.
Which is what Tyrone Tracy on that one particular play obviously wasn't.
But that's what I like with Harbaugh. The Giants have been a mess for the last decade. He's saying, you miss a block and get our quarterback killed? We're bringing somebody else in. Whether or not they end up cutting Tyrone Tracy or not is a different story. But if I'm Tyrone Tracy Day, I'm saying, hey, my blocking better be better.
Or I'm going to be looking for a job. I'm so glad you said that, because there's a lot of people, most of you in this town, just adore Johnny Harbaugh. I'm a bit of an outlier on that. Obviously, successful head coach. Obviously, an upgrade from what you had since Tom Coughlin's been here. I agree with all that stuff. But you guys have bought into this notion, that John Harbaugh is going to lead you to the promised land.
Oh, I don't think that.
Which begs the question. And here's the question that nobody has asked, and shame on Evan Roberts, and shame on Tiki Barber, and shame on Boomer, and Jerry Recco, and CeeLo, and everybody else on this radio station, and shame on the callers, and shame on those of you that are listening online, and, you know, on Twitter, and blah, 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 reacting to everything that's said on this radio station. There's a take here that I'm flabbergasted nobody's brought up yet. When Jackson Dart goes to the blue tent, nobody knows if he has a concussion or not. That's why he's in the blue tent.
He's getting evaluated.
He's getting evaluated. Now, again, I've seen the play 50 times like you have. His head kind of makes contact at the very end, but it's not like a blunt force trauma contact with the ground. But it was enough because he laid there motionless for 3 or 4 seconds that they take him to the blue tent. Here's the question nobody's asking. And I'm sorry to be this guy, because I know a lot of you think I hate the Giants. I don't. A lot of you think I root for the Giants' failures. I don't. I want the Giants to be good. It makes this job more fun. That being said, how come nobody has said what I'm about to say? It's why I'm special. I'm alone on a smart island. It's me and anybody else on the island. It's just me alone on Smart Island.
Carton Island.
Carton Island, if you will. Thank you. I'll take it. Which is also got some other names. You just get them out of the way if you want to. There's Felon Island. There's You Went to Prison Island. There's Hung to the Knee Island. There's a lot of names of Card Night. All good. That being said, and here's the question I have to ask. Why'd you put him back in the meaningless preseason game?
Stupid.
How come nobody's asking that question? You don't know if he's got a concussion or not. You don't know if he's injured or not. But it was enough for somebody to buzz down from up above and say to the Giants, he's got to come off the field. We think he might have a concussion. Now, we saw him take a hit right to the chest, right to the solar plexus, and he laid there motionless for 3 or 4 seconds. That had to scare the bejesus out of you. So if we agree that the preseason is meaningless, and I'm a guy that said on Friday, Jackson Dart had to play. Jackson Dart has not played enough football not to get some reps. Obviously, they had a predetermined either amount of reps or 2 possessions, whatever they looked at it as, right? But once he goes to the blue tent, why in the world would you put him back in that game? And how come nobody asked that question?
My guess would be the reasoning why would be they're trying to build with this new regime, a new culture, and they're throwing the quarterback in there. But we all talk about Jackson Dart
you
potentially being reckless.
Stop there for a second. If Jackson Dart...
You have nothing.
...is not your quarterback, all due respect to Jameis Winston, you're done. If Jackson Dart doesn't live up to the billing, you're done. So I'm trying to figure out, knowing that everybody thinks that Jackson Dart's a franchise quarterback, and there's a lot of people believe, and maybe I do too, that that's one of the core reasons why John Harbaugh wanted this job. Young stud quarterback going into year two, Lamar Jackson light, if you will, style of football, right? As soon as the medical staff or the objective medical viewer says he's got to come off the field for a concussion protocol, how in the world do you put him back out on that field?
What they should have done is they should have wiped the sweat off the forehead and said, good night.
You're done for the day.
Done. Put him
in
the backup.
It's a meaningless preseason game. And yes, I'm being somewhat hypocritical on that. I think he needs reps. And at the same time, it's meaningless.
But count your blessings
in that spot. And I understand
that
there's a middle ground there that I'm not playing to. But it's a preseason game at the end of the day. And if your star quarterback might be hurt, how in the world? He came out for one play, obviously. Winston throws the screen pass, goes for 40-some-odd yards. They get the first down on 3rd and 20, whatever, right? Why? What was the glaring need to bring your possibly injured quarterback back onto the field? And that's the last possession he played. So you're telling me when he comes in and he misreads the pocket because the pocket's clean, there's no reason to get out of the pocket, but okay, fine. Rolls to his left, throws the prayer gets answered, and you score a touchdown. That's when his day ended, right? So what was the need to bring him back on the field for one more play? Walk me through that.
The only thing I would say is that this is a new coach that just got here and he's trying to build that culture. That's it. I think it's dumb. I would have been, hey,
he risked
Jackson,
the entire season by bringing him back for one more play.
And that's on the coach.
That's 100%
on the coach. I don't fault Jackson Dart for saying, no. I want to go back in. That's a player. That's his mentality. He's the leader of the franchise. But the coach has to be the one that's saying, this isn't regular season game 8.
Correct.
This is preseason irrelevant
game
number 1.
We ain't playing for a playoff series. We're not playing to win the division here. We're not playing to get a wild card. This is, I'm going to put you back on the field for one more play. That's how it worked out because, of course, you know, they score the touchdown on the roll to the left, which is a great athletic move. And I want to be clear, if I'm a Giant fan, yes.
You're excited.
I love that. I want more of that. Even though the prayer's the throw's a prayer, I want that, right? Athletic move, throw running to your left, throwing with the right, all good. But somebody's got to ask the question, why were you willing to risk the season on one more preseason play? And no one's asking that question.
And with other coaching staffs, you think that would be something.
100% would have been the first question out of the gate.
But with Harbaugh, everyone gives him the benefit of the doubt.
If that's Aaron Glenn, first question out of the gate.
And not only that, Aaron Glenn's getting shredded for it today.
I can't believe Aaron Glenn risked the entire season. By the way, Sala would have gotten it. Dable would have gotten it. McAdoo would have gotten it. They all would have gotten it. But John Harbaugh right now is living a charmed life because you guys view him as the savior to your franchise. And I get that part of it. I'm not even saying you're wrong about that. But I didn't see an article written. I didn't see a column written. I haven't heard a podcast, a radio show, a TV show, nothing. Nobody asked the question to John Harbaugh after the game. Why did you put him back in?
And doesn't it seem like such an obvious question? Because when I saw the highlight of it
at
first.
The first thing I was thinking, I couldn't believe he went back in.
I said, all right, his day's done. He's probably done for the rest of the preseason.
By the way, I thought the same thing, that we got lucky. Because Tyrone Tracy misses the block. He gets a helmet to the chest. He lays there like he's dead for 3 seconds. And every Giant fan went, that's the gulp of, you know. I don't do a better sound effect than that, but that's a little bit better. Thank you. I'll take that. But it's weird for me to hear it, much like it is for you to hear. But yeah. So I'd love, if you're a Giants fan, I'd love to get your take on that. 888-808-1019. The Jet perspective, I don't know that the Jets lose a game this year.
I'm still getting posts and comments about your idiotic take the Patriots only winning 5 or 6 games and the Jets are going to have more wins.
The Patriots, if I was setting over-unders, I'd put the Patriots at 5.5. They're not going to be a good football team this year. By the way, I don't think the Denver Broncos win 9 games this year. They were 11-2 in one-score games, but the Jets, maybe you guys didn't see it. Maybe you guys missed, without our starting quarterback, young Clade Klubnik, 12 plays, 65 yards, points on the board, bing, bang, boom, right down the field, and not just dump-offs. There were a few dump-offs. Throwing the ball 15 yards down the field.
Guess you didn't watch him last year up against LSU. Stink up the joint.
Listen, I don't care what a kid did at Clemson. I care what you do with the green on. That 12-play drive, I didn't see that all last year. There's a chance the Jets are 17-0. Obviously, you get the news today that Breece Hall has a groin injury at practice today. Today's practice must have been a tough one because it sounds like the Jets are like the walking wounded right now. Garrett Wilson was thrown up all day. Obviously, he'll be back. Breece Hall going to be out for probably the rest of the preseason with a groin injury now, a pulled groin, whatever it might be.
But it was non-contact when he went down.
Non-contact,
so I thought
yeah.
it was going to be bad. The fact that Glenn came out and was like, hey,
was
it's
run,
something that should be any serious is something that goes okay.
Yeah, it was on a run, but wasn't a hit. You're right. It was a non-contact in that he's running down the field.
You know what Harbaugh would have done?
The groin.
He would have said, Breece, get up, go back in 10 seconds
but
later.
Like, Breece, why are you on the sideline? We're going to risk the entire season and put you back in. And put you right back in. Now, the thing about Harbaugh, I do like, that you brought up already, this is Zach Gill, by the way, is that this is clearly, I need to set a tone of what my organization is going to look like from a toughness standpoint. The preseason has been very tough compared to, you know, Brian Daboll for the last 4 years, but he is sending a message. And don't think it's because a fourth-string running back got hurt. That ain't why Najee Harris is being brought here. Najee Harris was brought here so that Tyrone Tracy and everybody else understands, if we're asking you to block, don't miss the block, block a guy. put a hand on the guy and don't leave your quarterback out there to be obliterated and blown up the way he was on Saturday. Because that's what happened, and that's why Najee Harris is here.
And I heard it from Tiki, and I know that Giant fans are also going to say this about Dart. They feel like he's getting unfairly picked on with how many times he goes to the tent, and even Dart said it. It's not going away.
Because no, it's not.
I remember the Tua thing, and I know it's totally different, but Jackson Dart had the issue up against the Eagles when he went into the tent, and right, Daboll poked his head, and that was a big story.
Out of like desperation,
yeah,
too.
And yeah. It was a regular season game. They got him back in there. And also, Jackson Dart keeps on kind of going after the process here, and the NFL doesn't like when they get told what to do. So anytime he gets hit, he's going right into that medical
tent.
Yeah,
and look, I mean, I know it's only one diagnosed concussion in the, what, six times or so that he went into the tent, including
this weekend. And he missed the two games, yep.
But the reality is that the NFL, even though I think it's a little BS, you know, they're going to keep telling you how much they care about head injuries and CT and all that stuff. And if you get tackled and the back of your head or the side of your head hits the ground, heck, the front of your head hits the ground, you're going to the tent. Now, I want to be fair to Jackson Dart. That particular play had nothing at all to do
100%.
With his style of football that's been so criticized, you know, throughout last year. That wasn't youthful exuberance. That wasn't being stupid. That wasn't a meaningless extra yard. He never saw the defensive back coming at him because Tracy missed the block. Jackson's looking left the whole way. The blitzer comes from his right side and lights him up.
There's nothing he could have done about it.
That's called football.
Yeah.
But the reality is that we are going to try to protect our players if we think that their head hits the ground with force. That's what it was.
And
then the fact that you put it back in the game, it's criminal to me.
And also, you remember that game up against the Patriots when he got lit up down the sideline. That was a Monday Night Football isolated spot. People remember that.
Yes.
And yeah, you become a target when you get hit at as often as you do.
And I want to be clear with this because I know we're going to get calls on it. I respect the fact that Jackson wanted to go back into the game. I liked it as a fan. I want that out of my quarterback. Excuse me. I want a competitor. I want a guy saying, no, I'm good, coach, even in a meaningless preseason game. That's Jackson did everything right.
But the
in
coach
that
needs
regard.
To be the voice of reason.
There's
got to
be an adult in the room that says, listen, I love that you want to go back in a meaningless preseason game. I'm going to protect you from you.
Not tonight.
Not tonight.
Look
we'll
to
at
see
all
another
your calls.
Day.
888-808-1019. I will say this. Gallo, brilliant in the first segment of today's show. Your brilliance. When I said open mic, I meant it. And the way you used it, perfectly. Perfect use of that microphone.
You know, your chicken that got lost. I think I found him. He's over there.
Oh,
wow.
I'm holding it down over here.
Wow.
Checking the boxes, okay?
A battle of co-hosts. I like that. I did lose a chicken. I don't know how I lost a chicken. I got four more chickens. I have 20 chickens. And we have a little ancillary coop for the new ones. And I put the chickens in the coop. All good. I went there this morning. I fed the chickens. I went to get eggs this morning. There's a missing chicken.
Hmm.
And I have a camera on the coop. No motion detected. So I can't figure out where this one chicken is. I lost the chicken. Normally a raccoon will get it. A coyote will get it.
Dog.
We even have mountain lions. They may grab it. Bear will get it. But yeah, one missing chicken. No feathers, no blood. Just a missing chicken.
Maybe he just ran away.
I'm going to do, you know the big thing on the podcast now are these crime podcasts? It's like the top 10 podcasts in the world, other than Rogan, are all crime podcasts. I'm starting an animal crime podcast.
Investigate the chicken.
I'm missing a chicken.
You're not the only radio host to ever lose a chicken, though.
Who else lost a chicken?
Do you remember, you worked at WIP, Big Daddy Graham?
May he rest in peace.
Yes.
He passed away, right?
Yeah, he passed
away.
It's
weird for me to say that.
He brought a chicken to Wing Bowl that they used to do in Philadelphia. And they lost Chuckles the chicken at the event.
An actual chicken? A live chicken?
An actual chicken. Never found them.
Well, somebody ate them, for sure. Might have been Joey Chestnut, but somebody ate them. All right, we'll get all your calls. We'll start with the Giants and Jets. We'll get to the Yankees barely scraping by and salvaging the last game up in Toronto. Day off today, Baltimore tomorrow. The Red Sox, of course, back to reality, so that's good. Tampa Bay got swept this weekend, so all good there as well. But the Yankees cannot score runs. We'll get to that much later in the show today. We'll get you out of the gate with football. 888-808-1019. Coming to you live from the Town Fair Tire Studios, powered by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. You know, you could head home in a new Mercedes-Benz from Mercedes-Benz of Edison. The Mercedes-Benz Welcome Home Celebration is here. You'll find exceptional opportunities to drive home luxury. Now with special offers on the versatile GLC and GLE SUVs and the C-Class sedan, whether you choose gas, hybrid, or all electric, Mercedes-Benz of Edison will help you find the perfect fit for your lifestyle, but you got to hurry. The Welcome Home celebration ends August 31st. Visit Mercedes-Benz of Edison, where luxury feels like home.
Peerless Boilers, the world's best-built boilers, can help with your heat and water heating needs, maybe even your chicken needs. Now's the perfect time to replace that inefficient beast in your basement with a 96% efficient Peerless Boiler. Peerless Boilers have a perfect match for homes, apartments, commercial buildings, you name it. Get all the heat you need efficiently and save on your energy bill all year long. Don't wait until it's too late. Learn more about the entire Peerless Boiler family of products, and to find a local installer near you, visit PeerlessBoilers.com. And remember, Peerless Boilers, the world's best-built boilers.